All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be in Psalm 23. But I want us to start out looking at 1 Samuel 17. We're looking at this morning, Jehovah Raya. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This will be the final of the names for now. This is number 7. And people, mankind, like say, well, there's 7 names of the Lord because that's perfection. And consider the names of the Lord. What did he say? He said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Or in Exodus 30, it says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord's his name. He has many names, don't he? We need many names to appreciate him as he ought to be appreciated. There in 1 Samuel, you got Judges, Ruth, Samuel, and Kings. You get Kings went too far. 1 Samuel. While you're turning there, we know Psalm 23. That's the most quoted psalm there is in the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A lot of people walking up down the street can know that, don't they? One time there was a well-trained actor. He was receiving an award for what a wonderful theater actor he was. He got up and quoted Psalm 23 and people oohed and awed. Oh, look what mastery of the English language he has. How great it was. That was nice, wasn't it? Boy, and they clapped and cheered. One of his friends was there in the audience. Well, that Sunday, they went to service. And a man got up and stuttered. And stammered. And he tried his best to read Psalm 23. And just fumbled through it. And people in that audience wept. They wept. And that friend asked the actor, and they said, what's the difference? They said, people heard you read this so eloquently, and it was just such an oratory capacity. And they were pleased by it, but these people wept. They said, what's the difference? He said, I know the psalm, and he knows the Savior. I know the psalm, he knows the shepherd. There's a difference. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what David wrote. David was a man. He was a king. He wrote this, but he knew something about it. This wasn't just a sweet little nursery rhyme, a sweet little picture of our Lord. This wasn't something that he thought would go good with the narrative. He knew what he was talking about. He knew what a shepherd was. Did you know that? Look here in 1 Samuel 17. Goliath had showed up on the scene. Those Philistines came and there was going to be a war and they was in trouble. Says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'll take care of it. And Saul said to David, the king spoke to David, this teenager, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He a man of war from his youth. What did Paul tell Timothy? Let no man despise you because of your youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. I was a keeper of sheep. I'm just a little shepherd boy. And he said, a lion came and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, he went up to that bear and grabbed it by the beard and slapped that lion. I was trying to get a bird away from a calf the other day, and it wasn't going to happen. Here he went after a lion. That's a man that believes God, what that is. And then after he smacked that lion or that lamb out of its mouth, verse 35, and when he arose against me, now he's coming after me. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. That's what happened. Here's a teenager telling a king this. He said, I used to keep daddy's sheep. And a bear and a lion. Both of them came and took his lamb. And I killed both of them. What's that mean? What's the significance? Is he just he's just a mountain man. That's what he is. A servant slew both the lion and the bear. That lion's a picture of one that goes about like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan. And you know what the bear is in the scriptures? That's the law. That's the law. And Hosea tells us that. You know what our good sense is? Is we got to run away from Satan. He's a bad guy. We've been told nursery rhymes since we was a little kid. What can we run to? We'll run to the law. That'll keep us away from Satan. You get the picture? You're leaving a lion and running to a bear, and you ain't nothing but a sheep. You think that's going to work out good for you? You better have a shepherd. You better have a shepherd come and save you out of the mouth of the lion that sought to devour you, out of the mouth of that law that you cannot keep. All it can do is kill. It'll slay you. David knew what he was talking about, didn't he? He knew what he was talking about. He says there in verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion," Satan, "and the bear," the law. He fulfilled every jot and tittle, and he's crushed the serpent's head. "And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David knew what a shepherd was. He knew a shepherd saves the sheep. He knew a shepherd feeds the sheep. He protects the sheep, and he lays down his life for the sheep. Can you imagine laying down your life for an animal? I know there's some people out there that love their animals, but if they got more sense, but more so giving one of my sons, giving one of my children for a dog, for a sheep, for something that ain't even worth anything. David willfully went out and fought that lion and that bear because God enabled him so he could be a picture for us of what a shepherd ought to be. That way, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, Selah. Stop doing what you're doing and spend 7 or 8 hours just thinking about that. Enter into that. Learn something. Go read a book about sheep or something. To pause on it. The Lord is my shepherd. And what does he say after that? I shall not want. I shall not want. This one that saved me from the mouth of the lion, that saved me from the mouth of the bear, both enemies I could not tackle by myself. I had no hope. He come, he saved me. And because of who he is, Jehovah Rea, I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, I'm not going to want anything. It also means I shall not lack and I shall not fail. Why? Because Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. In this psalm, we see all 7 of those names of the Lord. Whether they are expressly written or they're implied. We'll see that, I hope, today. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Why won't I want? He provides. What does he provide? What does he provide? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to turn a little bit in the beginning, and then I'll keep you in the Psalms after that. Matthew chapter 6. It says in Matthew 6, verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, they don't plant a garden, neither do they reap, nor gather their barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. They don't make their own clothes, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." One of these little flowers in the field. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed?" These are carnal things, isn't it? "For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God." That means seek ye first. There's an order to things, isn't it? Isn't God a God of order? That means don't seek the kingdom of God and be a fatalist and lay in your recliner and say, "If the Lord wants to feed me, he'll just drop food in my mouth." No, you seek him first in the morning. You pray to him early and then you get after it and you go to work. Do what's put in your hand. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He's saying carnally, worldly. You have need. The Lord's going to give it to you. He'll give you the ability to get it. He'll provide that, provide the job that you have, provide the strength to do it, and the oxygen in your lungs, and the water in your body, so sweat comes out of your brow. He'll provide all those things. Don't you worry about that. Now, turn over to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. He just spoke to that rich young ruler, as we read the other night. That rich young ruler said, that law, that bear I was against, I kept it from my youth up. I'm fine in that bear's mouth. Ain't going to bother me one bit in the world. And the Lord said to him, said, you lack one thing. David said, Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. And he told that rich young ruler, said, you lack one thing, don't you? Look here in Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, we'll say it again in a minute, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. There in Mark he said, you'll receive it in this life. We looked at that recently, didn't we? You don't cling to the religion of your family. You cling to Christ. And if that separates family, so be it. And the Lord said, in this earth, I walked away from two brothers because they hate God. They go to church. They're plenty religious. But they cannot stand the Christ of the Bible. And look how many brothers I got. I walked away from one sister. Look how many sisters I got. Has he blessed me? Of course he has. Did he say he would? Yep, he sure did. Did he do it? Oh, he's faithful to perform, didn't he? Carnally, will take care of you. Emotionally, what we need on the inside should not be alone. Because we're sheep. He'll provide other sheep. Isn't that precious, isn't it? Later on here, look, Luke 22. This is just one verse, but we ought to look at it. Luke 22. Lord was speaking to those that he had sent out. And he said, don't take a purse, don't take a script, don't take shoes. You just go and preach. And they won't provide for you. Dust your feet off and go to the next house. Luke 22, verse 35. And he saith unto them, when I sent you without purse and without script and shoes, lacked ye anything? He said, I've told you these things. You that's been alive with the Lord for a little bit. Carnally, I need my bills paid the same as you need your bills paid. There ain't no difference. You got woes, I got woes. You got bills, I got bills. The Lord has paid my bills. He's kept me clothed in a suit and a tie and tires on my truck. How'd he do that? In a multitude of ways. I mean, he gave me air and opportunity and a desire to go out and work. And it gave me enough sense to obey His word and save. And He's done this. It's His doing. It ain't me. He's provided physically for me. Spiritually, I need a spiritual family. I'm a sheep. I need other sheep. Am I left cold in the rain? Absolutely not. How many continents can I go to right now? And find some, I don't need to speak your language, but boy, we'll huddle up. They'll feed me whatever they got in their pantry. I know that. And as He sends us out in this world, have we lacked anything yet? Have I ever wanted anything? That's not just physically. Have I lacked anything spiritually that God requires? Has my shepherd allowed this sheep to lack anything? Paul wrote, said, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, a sheep that's put in our shepherd. He's made unto us. God has made Christ unto us wisdom. You need wisdom? You better, if you know God, you're going to have some understanding of Him. He's my wisdom. I need to have a righteousness. It's not just that my sins have to be put away. I have to live a perfect life on this earth. His life was made my life because I was made one with Him. Have I lacked anything? Have I lacked anything? Sanctification. I have to have a holy nature. You have to be anointed and set apart from God for His use to be allowed in His presence. And it's not that my sins have been blotted away. It's not that I've just been given His holy life that He lived, that I lived in Him. I have a holy nature that cannot sin. I cannot explain this. I believe it. It's so. He said so. But you lack sanctification? Christ has provided it for His sheep. You lack righteousness? He's provided it for His sheep. The shepherd has. Jehovah Rea. You lack wisdom? He's our wisdom. And redemption. Both redeemed in His blood. Before time, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Redeemed at Calvary when He physically took it out. He physically carried out the will of the Father. Redeemed in the heart when His Spirit comes to us. Makes us alive. Quickens us. I've been bought with a price. And in that final day, whether He comes to us or we go to Him, that purchase, that transaction's complete. That's when you buy a car that says it's been delivered. We've been purchased. We have an inheritance. We got a copy of the key. We got the title. But they'll be delivered. We'll be delivered to His presence. Now, what do you lack? Do I lack anything? Do you lack anything? Ain't happened yet. If we look on these things and dwell on these things, that's just temporal things in this world. There's a judgment coming. There's an eternity coming. When it's time for me to go home, if I see Him, if I know that He's my shepherd, and I shall not want, I shall not lack, what can I add to it? What else is needed? Nothing. Nothing. Just waiting. Lord, be with me while I wait for You. Be with me while I wait for You. He's there. We'll see it in a minute. Lord's there. How did Jehovah Rea, the Lord my shepherd, give us such things? He was made like His people. He was made like His people. He had to be. This great shepherd can't be ignorant of what a sheep is. He has to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Just like David. David knew what he's talking about being a shepherd. This shepherd knows what it is. He's the only shepherd that knows what it is to be a sheep. He said, I'm going to give you this. I stole this from Mike Walker. I'm going to preach from it one day too. Psalm 22, 23, and 24. I'm the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I don't know where Mike stole that from, but I'll give him credit for it. He's the good shepherd. Look here in Hebrews 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that bought again from the dead, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the one that raised our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd that laid down His life. He's the great shepherd because He shed His blood and He's risen. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. This good shepherd that came and laid down His life is the great shepherd that ascended on high and intercedes for His people right now. Well, what a shepherd we have. But there's something else. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. He's the chief shepherd. The good shepherd. The great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. That's a frightening term. It's the office of a pastor is considered an under-shepherd. An under-shepherd. And that's frightening. Who's sufficient for these things? The only thing I can do is say, look at Him. Call to Him. Here's what He says. But He gives instruction here. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. An elder is a man that preaches. The Lord's enabled to preach His word. And Peter says, I'm an elder too. He preached, didn't he? He's an apostle, but he's also an elder. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. That's His charge He's given. Take the oversight thereof. You take accountability. You're the head of that house. That's what we saw earlier, wasn't it? Now you man up, gird yourself like a man, and you do what God's put in your hand. This ain't for slack. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you just have to. Well, it's what God put in my life. I got to do it. But willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not for your personal benefit and gain. That is prevalent. prevalent, and it's an old nature that desires it. Filthy lucre. Filthy. But a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage as his sheep, but being examples to the flock. And when, you're an under shepherd, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. Who's that chief shepherd? It's a good shepherd that came and laid down his life. What else is he? He's the great shepherd that rose. He ascended. He's on high interceding for us. And now he's the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd shall appear. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. David knew something about a shepherd, didn't he? That's simple terms. You know, we don't do it. We don't have an agrarian society where we grow our own food and have our own crops. And those things are prevalent in our day. But you can look that stuff up, can't you? Like, that's a sheep. That's what they look like. They got wool. They get dirty. That's a shepherd. He's got a rod and a staff and a hook. And he keeps the sheep. I get that. He goes to fishermen and says, here's a hook and there's a fish. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You get that? Farmers. Here's a seed. A seed. Incorruptible. It's going to go in the ground. It's about to die. And it's going to bring forth much fruit. You get that? That's what corn does. That's what wheat does. You get that? That's what our Lord says. He gives us this picture of a shepherd. We can turn back to Isaiah 53. I said I was going to turn you a little. I'm turning you more than I planned on. But that's all right. We've read these things a lot, but it's good to see them. It's good to see it often. Isaiah 53. Philip and that was sent by God to the Ethiopian eunuch as an under-shepherd to tell him of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And that Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. And he knew exactly what that was talking about, but he didn't know what it meant. He understood the words, but he said, how can, Philip said, you know what you're reading there? He said, how can I know unless a man tell me? That's the same it was with Hagar, wasn't it? Didn't a man have to come to her and preach the gospel to her? God sent Philip this eunuch. Here's what he's reading. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. It's like Hagar. It's like everybody, right? Every one of us. We've went astray. Well, I never went astray. Well, the Lord said his sheep went astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, upon our chief shepherd, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. When you take a sheep, you stand it up on its hindquarters, and they shear them, and them sheep don't move. It's like they have an off button on their hind end. They just freeze. The Lord designed them that way. Why? Because that's where they're supposed to be. Why did our Lord go to that cross and suffer those charges and that guilt and that shame? And he didn't open his mouth. Because it was right for to do so. He was there in his people's place. That shepherd was there for his sheep. Because of us. We were responsible and he was accountable. Boy, that ain't a piece of paper, is it? That's a person. That happened. That ain't a theological standpoint. That's a Savior is what that is. That's a difference. That's the Lord our shepherd. Verse 8 said, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. God has a people. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. What we've been looking at with Abraham. Whenever our great shepherd was offered up, what did the Father see? He saw his seed. Christ and his people. He saw his sheep in him. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That sacrifice is accepted. He's satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, because this great shepherd. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I haven't wanted. Physically in this world, I ain't going to want. spiritually in this world, while I'm here, I won't want, I think I am, I think I'm starving to death, and I just need a crumb from his table. Crumbs are sufficient. And when that final judgment comes, when this world is over, it's wrapped up, none, I won't want. His people won't want. Those that he's died for, those that he did this for, they shall not lack. You're going to lack one thing, you ain't going to lack anything. It's your his. Because you're in him. You're in him. Now back in our text. We could stop there, but I'll try to go quick. Wouldn't that be wonderful? if that's all we got. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I think that'll get me till Wednesday. I'll try to go quick. Verse 2. He maketh me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down. Why does the Lord make his sheep lie down in green pastures? Because you won't. Because you won't. Because we're prone to wander. We're like sheep. We try to get out. We try to go away. And he makes us lie down in green pastures. What is it to lie down there? That means to crouch, and it also means to recline. That's a twofold made to lie down. The literal translations, it's submission. The Lord's going to make his people submit. We're going to bow to Christ, period. And his people do it in this lifetime. Every knee shall bow, but we'll do it in this lifetime. That's submission, and it's reclining. It's rest. He makes us rest. Aren't you thankful? What? In green pastures. Sheep eat grass. This is the word. This is what we feed on. Before we become a good keeper of sheep, I heard a man say it one time, said, you need to be a good keeper of grass. I said, how do you keep them sheep so pretty? He said, I grow good grass. Sheep eat the grass. They feed on the word. That's what John told us. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. We feed on Christ. We feed on his word, don't we? Jehovah Shalom, he's our rest. This shepherd makes us rest. He's the Lord of being our shepherd, and he's the Lord of our rest. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord our shepherd leads his sheep in paths of righteousness. We're healed, we're given a new spirit, and he leads us in paths of righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Why does he do such things? It says there, for his namesake. For his namesake. I looked that up. In the scriptures, 30 times namesake is mentioned. I was my grandfather's namesake. I'm named after him. And so that always rung a bell with me from an early age. But from 1 Samuel to Ezekiel, 19 times the Lord mentions in the Old Testament about his name's sake. And it's promising what he will do for his people. For his name's sake, this is what I'm going to do. Because of my name, for my name's sake, here's what I'm going to do. He promised what he was going to do the whole Old Testament. 19 times he's told us that. And from Matthew to Revelation, 9 times the Lord speaks and says, for my name's sake. God Almighty in human flesh came and said, for my name's sake, giving instruction to his people, telling them what was going to happen. What God promised of old, he brought to pass in the incarnation of his son. All those promises for his name's sake was fulfilled when his name's sake showed up. He was born of a virgin on this earth. And therefore, because of what he came to accomplish, he promised 19 times, it was fulfilled in Christ, and mankind knows it, and that's why they get mad. That's why they fight it. The goat's butt as hard as they can. Because he came and did, his sheep are going to be hated. He said, for my name's sake, you'll be hated. For my name's sake, you'll be killed. For my name's sake, you'll be persecuted. For my name's sake, they're going to lay hands on you. For my name's sake, you're going to be made to suffer. All for his name's sake. Why? Because he fulfilled his promise. And those outside of Christ can't stand it. They'd kill the church if they was able to. Twice John refers to his name's sake. In 1 John 2 and 3 John, verse 17. Here's the two things. With what God promised 19 times in the Old Testament, the 9 times our Lord said, I've done everything, and they're going to hate you for it. Because you're one with me, because they hate me. Twice John tells us, our sins are forgiven because of his name's sake. And he says, it's our reasonable service to the church of God, to one another, because of his namesake. That persecution will feel, whatever it takes for us to serve one another. What can I do for you? Can I help? Can I be there for you? He said, because of his namesake, that's reasonable. That's reasonable. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The sheep are at peace in the valley of the shadow of death. That's this world. That's this body. This valley of death. Yeah, it's what's out there, but it's this old man too. We can fear not because our shepherd is with us. Jehovah Shema, the Lord's present. The Lord's present. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. That's our protection. What he uses to keep that wolf, the bear away and the lion away. That rod he gets rid of. And that staff he gets after us with. Old Brother Groover, they had took in a girl that they couldn't. Her mom and dad couldn't feed her down in Mexico years ago. And they'd kind of adopt her. They said, we'll keep her till you're all back on your feet. But Walter would get after his children, his four. They'd do something, he'd line them out as he ought to have. He was accountable in his house. And that little girl would do something, and she didn't really catch it like the other ones did, you know. And Cody and all them was always jealous of her. So she ain't going to get nothing done to her. So finally one day she got on the floor and just started pitching a fit. I mean, screaming and kicking. And Walter said, you knock that off, I'm going to whip you. And she turned it up a notch. Went harder, kicking and screaming. And he said, I'm serious. She went to 11, squalling. And he snatched her up and took her in the back room. And Cody and him was like, you don't know what's coming. You don't want to go in that back room. He went back there and spanked her, whipped her hard and good, as he ought to have. And as soon as she's done, she wiped in tears away, hugged his neck, and she said, now I know you love me. Whenever I'm taking a rod and a staff, strike on, Lord. I know you love me. Those that don't have soul pain, those that don't weep over their sin, they're not shut up to sin, God help you. God help you. Because he hasn't dealt with you. You ain't a child yet. His sheep, his rod and his staff, that comforts me. That comforts me. What about Jehovah Nissi? We've hit all the other ones, ain't we? The Lord our banner. Look here in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my, they see that table. And thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. What about that table? That's what the Lord's laid out in front of us. If he's with us, he spreads his table here 3 times a week. And what if we only get a crumb? Well, if it's a crumb from his table, it's sufficient. It's sufficient. What a table set before the sheep of Christ. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to remember him. His broken body. That unleavened bread. That's the table that's spread before us. And this cup is the New Testament and my blood, he said, which is shed for you. My body, that's what's laid in these elements, broken for you. My blood shed for you. That's not to symbolically show his death to the world. And it is. It's a symbolism of that. But that's our remembrance. How do we have the right to enter his table? Well, we have to know him. And we have to be brought to remember one more time that shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. His body broken for me, for a worthless sheep, a smelly, dumb sheep. His blood shed. It wasn't just a beating he took. His life was laid down. Blood came out. That table's prepared for us. That's our daily bread that we look for. Christ, give us our daily bread. And our heads are anointed with oil. The Lord our shepherd has done this. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest. When the Lord was telling Moses how to make that anointing oil and what to put it on, whatever it went on was sanctified. And the Lord declared it holy, and it was for his use. That was the Lord's command, and that was his doing. And he gave them a strong warning. He said, whoever compoundeth it, like it any. If you mix something else with this oil that I've told you, he said, or whoever puts it on a stranger, something that I told you not to put it on, is it shall even be cut off from his people. What's anointed on our heads? How are our heads anointed with oil? We consider things above. For the first time ever, we're called into remembrance of someone we know. And we think on him. That's not common. That's not common. It's not just to symbolize. It puts us in remembrance of him. And that's on our minds. We go to buy clothes. What am I going to wear in public? I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I didn't remember those things. If I'm going to get me a big flashy car, I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I don't want to bring reproach on the gospel, on you. Whatever it is, our heads are anointed with oil. We think on these things. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What's coming out of his cup? Living waters. That's what come out of David's cup. Living waters. Christ, the waters of life. He's filled me up. I'm going to tell somebody about it. What's got into you? It's who? Let me tell you about it. Something's changed. What believer wrote, suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it would I embrace, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. That's what comes out. I'm a sheep. He's a shepherd. I'm saved by him. Knowing the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. He's not just the shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. Because he's mine. And he fulfills all of his names. He's all and in all. And when a sheep sees that, first of all, they're going to run as hard as they can to the shepherd. That's my provider, my protector. He's everything. I see him, I'm going to run as hard as I can to him. And that's where all the other sheep go. Well, they're going to converge, ain't they? They're going to bump into each other along the way. Be herded up. Because of him, because he's my shepherd, knowing him, verse 6 says, surely, surely, in that valley of death, in that valley of the shadow of death, when it's so low, this world's rough. People's got woes. The world's hard, the body's hard, the families are hard, everything's hard, isn't it? But do you know, that's where the Lord grows his people. Don't wish away a trial. You're throwing away a blessing. Hear me when I tell you. Don't despise my youth. I know what I'm talking about. Everybody wants mountaintop moments, don't they? You ever been on top of a high mountain? You've been up there, over than 10,000 footers. What grows up there? Nothing. Nothing grows up there. You get down in a valley where the sun comes up at 9 a.m. and sets at 3 p.m. What grows down there? Everything. Whatever you put in the ground grows. You think about growing corn, corn pops up. Those low places are good. Knowing that, knowing him, and thankful for those rivers of water down by the green pastures where he is, where he's present. Verse 6 says, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In this earth, the Lord has kept me, he's keeping me, and he shall keep me. I know it surely. Goodness and mercy is going to follow me. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When this life's over, that shepherd's going to bring me home. Goodness and mercy. Old Brother Spurgeon said, goodness and mercy are the child of God's bodyguards. He said, goodness rides in front, providing all things according to the will of our Father. Goodness goes before us, and mercy rides close behind, blotting out all our sin. And that's hedged about it. What's in front, what's behind. What about left and right? He's there too. East and west, we're covered. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The Lord my shepherd, the Lord my provider, the Lord my banner, my healer. I'll dwell in his house forever. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Allow us not to despise the day of small things. Lord, allow us to chase the crumbs from your table. What a bounty you've set before us. Christ and him crucified. Allow us to see him again today. His body that was broken for us. His blood that was shed for us. Where he is now. Lord, allow us to beg for your will on this earth and your kingdom to come, our chief shepherd to be present with us. How our hearts long, Lord. Thank you for our brethren in this world, the sheep that you've called by your name. Lord, allow us to know them and pray for them. When they're in the trials that you've sent, give us a word that points them to our Savior once more. Forgive us for what we are, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen. All right. Brother Mike Cass, if y'all would.